Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, 800-531-3815. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we've got a new friend with us today. Steve Levine is the CEO and co-founder of Levenger Corporation, which is a catalog of the tools for serious readers, and he's got some things he wants to talk to us about. Steve's been studying high achievers, and he's going to report to us what he's found about some of the things that they do. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
Good to have you here. Steve, you've been studying high achievers for some time now in your business, and I'm sure just as sort of an avocation, if nothing else. And what are some of the things that you found that high achievers, that are sort of typical of high achievers?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that surprised us was working in silence. You know, we were surrounded by so much music all the time, mm-hmm. and it's easy to forget that recorded music only started very recently in human history, like about 100 years ago, but we're surrounded by it today. But most of the people I've talked to find that they work best in silence.
Well, I agree, and as we were talking about this a little bit off the air, I write an awful lot. I write about 100,000 words a year on small business, and I do all of that in silence.
Uh-huh.
But I love music, as my audience knows, especially rock and roll and blues.
Uh-huh.
But here's what I do. When I have to concentrate, when I'm doing the writing, the composition, I turn the music off. But when I'm through and I just want to sort of read it or edit it, or, you know, I'm not having to really create anything,
uh-huh.
that's when I turn the music on.
Yeah. Well, what we found is I talked to at least four professional musicians, and it seems the more you know about music, the less you can have it going on in the background.
Yeah.
Because, you know, music was, after all, designed to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do real heavy thinking when you're listening. You know, you mentioned our catalog. Most people who know Levenger know about our monthly catalog where we sell stuff
mm-hmm.
for readers and writers. But only about a year ago did we get into studying ideas. And once we put those columns on our website, we've been kind of overwhelmed by the response.
Hmm. Well, why is it important to know this? Why is this something that you feel is important for us to know about sound in the background?
Well, I think some people mistakenly have it going on in the background, thinking that it makes them more productive, and particularly young people. You know, I have a 15-year-old son who insists on studying with music in the background, and you hear that a lot. And maybe there's some different wiring going on in adolescence where they can do that, but it seems most people grow out of that, you know, and grow
yeah.
to a point where they have to, or maybe they just recognize when they can concentrate well. I don't know what it is, but it definitely is reported that, you know, when you're doing heavy thinking, it's best to just turn the music off. And when you're not, you know, turn it on and go to it.
Well, I agree with you. And that's I mean, I think I'm an exact example of your profile.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my experience is exactly that. I have I listen to some classical music sometimes. I listen to some tenor music, the opera tenors, and I have.
Oh, I
some,
love that.
That's the problem, though. As you say, you know, a lot of people would say, well, yeah, anybody ought to be able to work with that in the background. It's just, you know, but I love some of the pieces so much that I find myself, if I have it on, I find myself paying attention to that. And I actually, well, you know, that's the cool thing about the mute button. You know, a mute button is one of the handiest things that was ever invented, right?
Yep. Yep, I hear you.
What are some other things that you found out about? What about finding the time? Actually, you know, we talked about being quiet when you write, being quiet when you're concentrating, when you're trying to do something that only you are focusing on. How do we even find the time to do that?
Well, that's a great question, and all of us, I think, know how busy life gets and how it seems life conspires to take all your time away with trivia or with tasks, real or imaginary. And the people I've talked to who really achieve things find a way to carve out the time, and they get real strong about carving out that time and disciplined about it. One example was a woman who actually got into a job while she was illiterate, or almost illiterate. She got a job at a TV station as a receptionist, and unbeknownst to the management, she was just so good at what she did, she watched the literacy program at lunchtime.
I'll be darned.
And taught herself the GED while she was working. But she was so religious about carving out that time, and she was able to watch the monitor, and then she got the books from the station and taught herself to read and write, and has since excelled in the field of counseling.
I try to do those kinds of things during the week, and I can never do it because the phone's ringing or there's always something pulling at me. And I found that I do most of my writing on the weekend.
Uh-huh. And do you do it in specific hours?
It's usually most of the work I do is on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I usually write on Saturday and edit on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, don't you have a life? And of course, you know, to some degree, I guess I could say no. But the thing is that that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
It's what I enjoy doing, and but I think you're right. I think we all have to find out what's important to us. What is it that we get personally out of life? Whatever it is, it might be refinishing furniture. It might be running or whatever it might be. But we've got to be able to make time for that. And one thing I found, though, Stephen, you probably can appreciate this. You mentioned your son a minute ago. I found that it's a whole lot easier for me to find that time since my children have been grown.
Uh-huh. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. One of the fellows I talked to is an author named Andre Dubow, and he had three small children at home, and he worked as a carpenter, but he was an aspiring novelist. So he would go drive away from home and sit in his Toyota writing his book for 3 hours every morning. This was in the Boston area, and he did this, I think, 6 days a week for 4 years.
He didn't get arrested or anything?
Well, he was confronted once by the police, but fortunately he talked his way out of it.
For malicious writing or something like that?
Yeah. Well, he wrote a book called The House of Sand and Fog, and fortunately for him, Oprah loved it and collected it, and National Book Awards and all this kind of stuff. So now he's not working as a carpenter anymore.
Just by carving out some time for himself. Very interesting. Steve, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, Steve Levine is our guest and our new friend. We're going to be right back with him. When we come back, we're going to talk about when you're writing a book, if that's wrong or not. And we're going to get Steve's thoughts on that coming up right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 23 after. We're rocking here with Joe Cocker and Steve Levine. Steve's CEO and the co-founder of Levinger Company, Levinger Corporation. Steve, why don't you go ahead and give us your website, please?
It's levinger.com, L-E-V-E-N-G-E-R. And that's where we have these columns right on the homepage. You can find them. And we sure encourage people to give us their feedback and tell us their views.
Now, Levinger.com, tell us what you guys do.
Most people know us from our monthly catalog, the Tools for Serious Readers catalog, and we sell products like desks and pens and paper and that sort of thing. And just about 6 months ago, we started writing these columns on how successful people work, and we've been overwhelmed with the response.
Well, great. Yeah, you got a lot of gifts here, and especially Father's Day coming up. I'm sure you guys have got a lot going on. If somebody ordered something today, could they get it by Father's Day?
They can.
All right. So you got some overnight opportunity there then.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So check that out, folks. If you got a father to buy for out there, Levinger.com, just like it sounds, L-E-V-E-N-G-E-R.com. Steve, any other thoughts about how to carve out time for ourselves? I mean, this is this is really hard. I remember, let me tell you how, what I did when I was when my kids were small. I used technology to help me do that. I worked at the office until 5 o'clock. I was my own business. And I bought, I spent a lot of money in those days for removable hard drives. And I would literally leave work at 5, even though I had work left to do. And I would go home. I'd take my work on the hard drive because I had a lot of files. I'd swap the hard drive out, and this this was long ago when hard drives were small and expensive. And I mean the like 10 megabyte of hard drive was a big deal.
Boy, back in the olden days,
that's exactly right. And so I would take that home with me. I'd have dinner with my family. I'd spend time with my kids. And when everybody went to bed, including my wife, I would go downstairs to my home office, pop the hard drive in, and I'd work till midnight or afterwards. But I was able to use technology to not cause so I didn't miss dinner with my family.
Well, that's important. And one person I talked to, Alexandra Stoddard, who has written about 22 books. When she first started, she had a couple young girls at home and a job to go to. She forced herself to get up early in the morning when it was still dark. 5 o'clock, she would get up and put 2 hours in her writing, and that's how she got started with her first book on interior design. And and after that, she became successful.
Well, you know, one of the things I think people—it's a good thing for people to do—is find a time when it's not being taken away from anybody else.
And sometimes they have to do with less sleep, huh?
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, I did that. That's exactly when I was growing my business in the early days. That's exactly what I did. But my point is, if it's not owed to anybody else, then if whatever you do, see, a lot of times when you start out doing things like that, you think an element of your thinking is that you're wasting time. You know what I mean? When you first when you're writing that first book or you're creating this first whatever it might be, it's just your whim. It's what you want to do, and it might not be worth anything. You just want to have the chance to see if it's worth anything.
Yeah.
And so if the time is not owed to anybody else, then it's your time to waste. And if it turns out to be wasted, then it was an indulgence you gave yourself. Does that make sense?
One concept I like, I think it does, yeah. There's a book that's been out for a long time called Richest Man in Babylon about how to get financially secure. And it says take 10% of everything that you earn and make that your money. And that goes to your savings before anything else gets paid. Well, I think you can view time the same way. You know, take 10% of your free time and devote that to yourself, to your causes, to what you want to accomplish.
Right.
And, make that your time. And as you say, carve it out when it doesn't overlap with the family, if you can at all manage it. And most people get this done very early in the morning.
The way I thought of it is it's not owed to anybody else. It belongs to me. Let's move over and talk about something else, because this is something I know you're interested in. When I read books, I usually keep a red pen and a yellow highlighter.
Well, I hope they're not library books, Jim.
No, I don't use library books. I have my own, but I dog ear books. I mean, when you see the books that I talk about on the show, the ones that I go through with with the authors on my show, or the ones that I read just for my own use, they're dog eared. I've got post-it notes sticking out of them. I mean, they look like they've been used.
Yeah. Well, I think you follow the pattern of people who really get into their books for learning and want to learn fast and efficiently. Most of these people are what I call footprint leavers. They write in their books, they write in the margins, they underline, and they report that this helps them have a dialogue with the author and be active in their reading. Studs Terkel is another one who does that when he interviews people in Chicago.
See, I want to come back. I see something I want to remember. I want to know where to go back and get it.
You know, some of the people have taken this to an art form beyond my imagination. Some people, when they read books more than once, they'll use a different color ink, and they'll write the date of each time they read the book.
That's a little advanced for me. That's a little above my pay grade on that one. Hey, Steve, I've got to wrap it up, and I hate to do that, but we've got to go. Will you come back again and join us another day?
That sounds great, and we sure look forward to anyone coming to Levenger.com and giving us their feedback.
Thanks, Steve. Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.